The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Yeehaw. Are we going?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hey, it's a brand fresh new week.
Yes. How was your week, Kyle?
Oh, so much.
I haven't seen you in a while.
So much happened. I talked about it. I think it was the L.A. story where he's Steve Martin's a weatherman,
mm-hmm.
and he pre-records the weather.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's L.A.
And then there's a storm, and his boss's boat sinks. Like, if something adds, like the whole coronavirus thing has just taken out entire nations, and we're like, man, Freemasons are nuts. Shouldn't be pre-recorded. Like, oh, yeah, because also if the coronavirus does start spreading wildly, people are going to be coming to the Boogie Monster mm-hmm. for the real.
Yeah.
Ear to the rail news.
We'll take it.
That's what. Fuck traditional news sources. What are these two assholes? What's the information? That's the disinformation campaign. You start feeding. You get fed some stuff about like the aliens are real and here's proof, and then we tell nobody believes it because it's this show. Anyway. I hope we took care of the hissing sound.
Oh my god,
that we had there. Whoopsie,
dude. Speaking of butt thunder, are you familiar with poopery?
Well, just a spray.
Yeah, the product I'm talking about. Play on words, obviously, with poopery. Yeah. It's a miracle product.
Yeah, you're living in a one bedroom. Dude. I got something called unicorn gold in my bathroom.
You squirt it into the commode before you sit down.
Yeah. A
couple of good squirts.
Not sponsored. This is not a sponsor.
Yeah. Couple of good squirts into the bowl. I've had friends who've had it in their bathroom. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just a little air freshener thing. Like, oh, you squirt this after the fact. No, you squirt this beforehand into the bowl. You do your business. Fresh as a daisy.
Really? What does it do? It just grabs a turd and seals it up?
I guess. I don't know how
like
it works.
Plasti dipping? Like plasti dipping your dukes?
It's insane. It's way to go. It's like if, I don't know, if taking a duke was a crime, I would never get, the police would have no idea that I was even there.
I mean, I got my own bathroom, so I don't do it often enough. Yeah. I think the old matches do it just fine.
See, you guys got the two bathrooms.
Got two bathrooms. Yeah, had to, man. Had to do that.
I love our apartment. It's really rad, and it's big for a one bedroom, but boy, two bathrooms would be nice. That'd be a game
with
changer.
A lady? With dudes, you can get away with one bathroom. Like, it's minimal mm-hmm. products.
Yeah.
But again, this is like, oh, man, women be doing it's none of that.
No.
Yes, they have more upkeep equipment. Mm-hmm. Depending on the, like, because they have more upkeep to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As soon as we moved in, she's like, well, we don't have to make sure. I'm like, big ones, all you.
Yeah.
Take that, look at all that space, use mm-hmm. it, go for it.
Yeah. We also downsized our bed situation. We were rocking.
You downsized everything. You were in a fucking palace in Orange County.
That's true. But no, it's an upgrade from our previous apartment.
Yeah.
You know, but we had the pit stop at the father-in-law's place.
Oh, you got used to some luxuries.
We had a for about a year, we had a king size. It may have even mm-hmm. been a Cal King, which is bigger than, I think.
California King is just longer.
Oh, is it longer?
So I don't need that. When we were looking at beds, I'm like, yeah, we're both short. We don't need a long bed.
Well, we didn't have a Cal King. Cause,
unless you want to turn sideways.
Yeah.
And then you just got even that much more room between you.
Now we're back down to a queen, and I flail.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to say this on mic, but apparently I connected.
Smacked old girl in the face in the middle of the night.
Katie caught a fist to the jaw. I was completely unconscious and sleeping, so therefore I don't think some of the legal ramifications apply here, but you know, I always say I'd never hit a woman, but when I'm asleep, I can't control what's
rules
going on.
Rules off, man.
I can't control. But apparently I caught her pretty close. Like, thank God I didn't hit her in the eye where she never hit a woman in the eye. You hit them in a drill.
Oh, boy.
But, no, just kidding. But, yeah, apparently I flailed and just popped her good. And we were just too close to each other.
No, that happens. I remember when I woke up and Rachel just coughed right in my face, just open mouth cough. She thought I was turned the other way, or she thought she was turned the other way. And it was just 3 inches away, just, I'm like, all right, well, we both got each other's diseases now. But yeah, man, that is
it sucks.
King size bed, baby. Yeah.
Plus, I got pillow issues now.
What's that mean?
I talked about this a few weeks ago. I
grew some fat tits. It's not even funny.
Fat tits is funny. I don't know, man. Like two pillows is too many. One pillow is not enough. I'm in this weird purgatory. Just, you know what I mean? Like the pillows that we have, two of them, I'm like cranking my neck forward. It's not comfortable. And then one, I'm too flat. You know, and now I don't know what I'm doing.
This is spend some money and get different consistency pillows.
Okay. Get a variety.
Get a firm one. Get a squishy one.
Okay.
Get one for squeezing and holding, and one for holding your neck in the right place.
Yeah.
We got some bricks in the back. Some like memory foam. Like it hurt if you had a pillow fight with those, you'd lose a tooth.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But those, that's your pillar at the front of the bed. That one's not moving. That's staying in the same place.
So you use that as the base.
Base. And then you got all your others for throwing an arm over. Like the studies in technology have gotten very far with pillows and a good night's sleep, man.
Yeah.
Invest. I know it's like we're selling the fucking mattresses that other podcast, that Better Podcast gets sponsored by.
Yeah.
We get people are out there getting whole mattresses for this shit.
Wow.
What do we got? Stuff for your butt.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, man. My sleep game—it's just
invest
all
in a good night's sleep, man. It's a massive component to your well-being.
Man, and she goes to bed before I do. Like she usually taps out earlier, so she'll. You know, by the time I get in there, it's like a she's tall. It's like a giraffe is in the bed.
She's a tall.
She's
lady.
All
how tall? Is,
diagonal.
How tall
she's 5'11" and a half. She's almost 6 foot.
How tall are you?
5'8" and a half.
Yeah,
I say 5'9". I round up.
I think I'm 5'8".
Yeah, she's a good 3 inches taller than me. But and she sleeps. And then when she sleeps, like she does this thing, she sleeps like a blackout drunk, but she doesn't drink. She just, I mean, she got shot with a tranquilizer dart while she's walking into the bed. Like just boom, just she's out.
That's yeah.
Clothes are on, lights are on. She's diagonal across the bed. It's like a ladder. Somebody put a ladder in the bed. I gotta move it off.
That's how Rachel. We got back last night. As soon as we got on the couch, she's asleep. Just go to bed. Why are you even trying to stay up?
Yeah.
You sleep on the couch at all?
I nap on the couch, but yeah, I've never
figure out how to make that your spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and. If I tell you this, oh, she's not going to like this part.
Well, do you want to?
Man, about once a week, she will fart like a goddamn freight train.
Yeah?
It like shakes the house. Like it wakes me up.
It's that fruit diet.
I guess. I'm talking trumpet.
It's got a lot of roughage in it. Yeah, that's a healthy body with a lot of roughage in it.
Wakes me up. Reaching for my gun.
You're
it's terrifying.
Confessing too many things.
she doesn't fart too much, you know, in the daytime hours. But boy, just those night farts.
I mean, I'm
probably gonna have to edit this out, or else I will be sleeping on the couch.
Well,
she doesn't listen very.
Yeah,
much.
They don't listen. These ladies don't listen to this. My mom does. Hi, Mom.
How's Deb doing?
She's living her life.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have her out as a guest one of these days.
Yeah.
We can call her right now. She'll talk through the end of the podcast. We don't have to do anything.
My mom's doing good. She's in the she's in the quilt guild. Talk about layers of secrecy.
Yeah.
You don't make any quilt moves in Louisville, Kentucky without the quilt guild's approval.
No rogue stitching.
She gets together once a week with a bunch of old ladies, and they don't even quilt. They talk about quilts.
No rogue seamstressing.
I guess not.
If you got an interest and you found a group that has that interest, good for you.
And she's been, for about a year now, she's been going to a grief group.
Yeah.
You know, which is great. You know, and she's really involved with that. But she's got a couple of old timers, a couple of old widowers.
Yeah.
Knocking on the door.
Fellas?
Yeah, I may have to step in.
Uh-oh.
May have to put my foot down with some old geriatrics.
Some companionship.
Tell them to keep it moving.
You think so? What she wants was got to talk to somebody.
Nah, she says they're harmless, but there's a couple guys that really she's like, I think they want to take me out on a date.
Yeah. At that point, what's the date? Like,
not on my watch. Keep it moving, Clyde.
But thing, if you're old, if you're old and then you want to like late in life companionship, mm-hmm. where I can't imagine that there's a much of a physical component there.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's your little hand holding and snuggling more than just a friend.
Yeah. No, I'm joking, but A, I don't think it's at that level. She's just kind of joking, but she's admitted like, I think, you know, they're being, not being aggressive or anything, but like laying down some signs.
I wonder if it's just you get later in life and you are in grief counseling, so you're sharing something. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sharing a bigger part than just a trivial conversation. I wonder. Yeah, I was wondering if people in AA date a lot, because you're like, we got a similar situation.
Yeah, we understand each other.
We're already having. Yeah, we're already skipping several steps of intimacy. This is how I vision it. Maybe I'm wrong, but we're already talking about the worst things of our lives, and it would. You know, breed some familiarity between people.
Yeah, loneliness is an interesting thing. I totally get how some people could be lonely, and I totally could get how some people could, you know, cherish their solitude. I spent many years just living alone, not dating, engulfed in my work, and I kind of liked it. I do well alone.
Yeah, I was never.
I mean, I'm happy. I'm excited to be married soon. But
but that's the thing. You weren't always dating somebody.
I never needed that. It was always like I know. Long term, eventually, you do need that. But I was never. I never remember a period where I was just like legit lonely and needed to go out and date or needed to go out and hook up or whatever. I enjoyed it. I don't know if that means I'm selfish. You know, because I did enjoy I'm going to watch what I want to watch. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I'm going to go where I want to go. And I have no problems now that I am with someone. I have no problems compromising or sharing. But when I was alone, it never really bothered me. But I wonder how that affects somebody at the end of their life.
Yeah, I guess you get a little bit more introspective. Like now, it's like, I'm alone. You don't think about the limitations.
Yeah.
Like, shit's up for everybody.
Yeah.
That's you can't talk about death. Like, it's taboo to somebody, really talk about, it's morbid. You want to talk about death? Like, it's going to happen to all of us.
Of course.
But, yeah, I guess, you don't think, it's not like, my time's limited. Nobody thinks that now.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe later on, you're like, this is... Then my grandmother just lonely. She outlived all her friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's that? What's that like? That's a different type of loneliness. It's not like I could call up so and so.
Yeah,
and then go. You know, I'll meet him. I got friends. I can make calls if I want to make calls.
Yeah,
it's like nope, nobody.
Or yeah, you're right. Like late in life when you're old, when the period I was talking about, it was in my 20s. And if I got really bored or lonely, I'd go to a show by myself or I'd go out to eat by myself. But to not even able to to be able to do that, to just kind of be not house ridden, but
Well, and that's why those groups are not as active. That's why a church serves a big function in groups like that. It's like, oh, that's your community. If there's not a family component, the church is a family component. If you know, these social groups that people join, like, oh, okay, here's kind of like, here's a similar interest that you already have a thing to talk about and see if a friendship comes from that, as opposed to meeting just somebody on the street. Hi, my name's Kyle. What do you like in life?
Yeah.
And I guess I do think about like, oh, that's, you know, people have kids and like, that's that idea of family. Mm-hmm. As they're not looking outwards to friends, you look at the younger generations that you've created and that's the reward. When you're old, is like, oh, look at this family that I put out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder a little sometimes, like, oh, am I going to be all bummed out because I'm going to be like, well.
Yeah. No kids to call.
I don't, yeah. But again, it's like, man, you're really gambling that you're going to live long.
Mm-hmm.
Which I understand. But some people, their whole thing is like, but when I'm older, I want to be able to look at. When I'm older, I want to be able to look at this, and I have this, and I did that. It's like, I could do shit now.
Yeah.
In my 20s, and friends talk about, well, when I retire, I want to be able to, like, what the fuck? You're 23. Well, when I retire, I want to be able to, like, get out of here.
Yeah. Live for the moment.
Well, but now we're all in our 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking... no fucking property to my name. Renting in a preposterous city.
Yeah, but you prefer that though, right?
I did. I was like, man, maybe I want to buy a house.
Have you changed at all on that?
I look at houses like, man, I want to, because be like, oh, you know what I'm going to do with this room? I'm going to make it a podcast studio. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to build a workbench in the garage and not worry about just leaving it there when I have to move to another place. So. Mm-hmm. Starting to see some of the benefits of that home ownership, but
any particular areas you're looking at?
Oh man, no. Just it's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who knows? Everybody changes. Yeah. You could change as you get older.
Yeah, should buy your house in Long Beach.
Living that Long Beach life.
Live that Long Beach life.
Shit. All right. What are we talking about?
Oh, real quick, I want to give a shout out to you. Got a nice we and you got a nice shout out. on another podcast. It's a podcast about podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Pod Bible. And seemed like some nice fellas. I think based on the accents, I think maybe they're British, if I had to assume. But it's a podcast.
British! Sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
sorry.
Get it out of your system. No, you got anything else?
I just had one of those.
But, and I'm not shitting on them. We appreciate. The one guy found your comedy and became a fan of your stand-up, and then that led him to our podcast. But it's a podcast about podcast, and they kept referring to us as the Boogeyman.
I think, you know what? I think because a lot of people have said that, I think it was just maybe that's what you got brought up with.
Mm-hmm.
Boogeyman's going to get you. I always thought it was Boogie Monster, but I think Boogeyman's more prevalent. So yeah. I'll say thanks, and that's okay. Yeah. That's an easy mistake.
Yeah, but it's a podcast about podcasts.
Yeah.
But
really, are we going to call a podcast out about not having the facts straight? Because... That is a bold stance coming from us.
Slippery slope. Oh boy.
Coronavirus update. There's a cruise ship that has been quarantined and there's 65 new coronavirus cases. Jeez. On the cruise ship. Man,
where's that cruise ship?
I'm checking it out right now. It's an NPR article that I just saw. And that, like, imagine that, like, just the fear of being on that. You're on a ship going like, all right, well, more and more people are getting sick of a virus that's traveling and you can't get off. I'd jump off the side of that damn boat.
You've been on a cruise,
I'd
right?
Jump off the side of that damn boat. Turn into Sean Patton's version of a New Orleans. I go gonna catch me up on that boat. You want to catch me on that boat, that coronavirus? I'd jump off the side of that boat. I swim to shore, sneeze on everybody. Where's this fucking boat?
Oh my god.
So stupid. Where is a? I can't see where the cruise was going from.
You been on a cruise?
I've been on a cruise. Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, man, it's kind of a. I was on a cruise when I was on a Disney cruise when I was a little kid.
Okay.
And it was a blast because as a little kid and you're on a boat, like the most fun I remember is like me and my sister made friends with other kids and we played ping pong.
Okay.
That's because you're a little kid. Oh, I don't know. Maybe fourth grade.
Okay.
Fifth grade, I think.
Nine, ten.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, here's like, fun stuff, and it's a boat, and you stop on a Caribbean island and go splash around in the water, and that's cool. But as an adult, I don't.
I've never been, and it sounds fun to me. And I even suggested to Katie, I was like, we still have gotten nowhere with our wedding plans.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, honeymoon, maybe we go on a cruise. She's like, no. Ugh. She's been on them, and she says, "It's plus she doesn't drink anymore. So like, I think that's a big appeal for adults to be on a cruise is drink.
Yeah, well, you get... Like, you just buy a drink package. Because I went on one, it was part of the Maximum Fun. They did a, they had a cruise through MaximumFun.org, which they, Jordan Jesse, that's like a podcast network and a production company. But so they did a thing for all their listeners, like, all right, we're all going on this cruise. Not that they got the whole boat. They maybe had 300 people that went for the events, like, it's basically having like a resort where like, hey, we're going to take over this ballroom or this venue within your resort for our group of people. So we did that and it was fun because I was there with like Bronger was there, like other comedians were there. But as far as it's like Las Vegas that you can't leave.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that?
Yeah. It was appealing to me because
buffets.
Well that too, but, one of the big cruise companies ships out of Long Beach. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool to just, we could literally walk to
base your whole vacation around the fact that you could walk to the departure.
To me, that's appealing.
Go to Catalina for a few days.
I've thought about that too. I definitely want to do
this. I'm going to confirm this right now with the computer, but I heard that, cruise ship, like people die on cruise ships. And because if you do fall off, you're going to die right away because cruise ships are just followed by sharks because they eat all the trash.
Huh.
Our cruise
ship. But the first part, if you die on a cruise ship, what happens? They toss you off?
No.
Oh, I thought that's where you were going with that. Like, that doesn't sound right.
No, man. You don't get a fucking burial at sea. Oh, no, I was wrong. Okay.
I always thought that'd be a great way to kill somebody. Oops, they fell off the boat.
No, that's a big one. That's a big problem.
Didn't that happen to, that's what happened to, Natalie Wood, actress Natalie Wood, and I think it was
Robert,
not Forrester, no. Wagner.
Robert Wagner killed her.
And then I didn't know this, but I think if I read correctly, Christopher Walken was on that boat.
Yeah, he was on the boat. No, that's if we're not going on like celebrity theories, that's one.
Huh. Oh, man. Not that this is the topic, but speaking of celebrity theories, you know what I saw the other day? There's a theory going around, and I don't know how much stock you want to put in this.
Probably none.
That, what's her name? Joan Rivers. Not dead.
Why?
A little bit of the Elvis thing.
Who still thinks Joan Rivers is alive?
There was an angle that she was just tired of being a celebrity. There's another angle that maybe she knew something about the Epstein stuff, and she faked her own death because there's a video out. Now, here's the problem with videos. It's like you don't know really when they were shot, but apparently she died in fall of 14.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a video like February of 15 where Clive Davis, the record mogul.
Yeah, yeah.
He's coming out of a restaurant in New York. There's paparazzi around, and there's a lady with him who looks like Joan Rivers without her wig and makeup and stuff and sounds just like her. And she's like avoiding the camera. And they were known to be tight friends. And the video is like, this was shot in 6 months after she died.
So somebody who looks like a rubbery old Jewish woman from New York was spotted in New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to look this up.
Good point. But yeah. Yeah, that that Natalie Wood thing, that is, what year was that? That was early 70s, late 60s. I wonder how big of a story that was at the time. I wonder if that was a huge tabloid scandal.
I just love the idea that, yeah, somebody doesn't want to see, like, Joan Rivers wants to stop being the good. Then fuck off. Nobody was begging Joan Rivers to stay around. All right, let's see this video. All right.
Oh, you found it?
No, this is just another old lady with surgery. That's the thing with plastic surgery. Everybody's going to look the same.
But the voice is a big factor. All right, well, like her.
What is this? This, I don't know what I clicked on the sound for that video and it was a mistake.
Hey, we'll discuss that.
Well, we'll go. That's a, God forbid we've run out of topics.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What are we still? We're talking about Freemasons. Are there any celebrity Freemasons? Part two. I know you guys were all hanging on to the edge of your seats. Holy shit. When are they going to crack this one wide open? I can't believe I had to wait a whole week for Kyle and Dave to talk about Freemasons.
Notable Freemasons. We already discussed 14 presidents. Nine of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, about a third of the signers of the Constitution. You got Paul Revere. He was one. I don't know about the Raiders. I don't think the whole band was. Winston Churchill. He was a Freemason. Henry Ford. Walter Chrysler. Ransom Olds. I didn't know who Ransom Olds was, but he's... I can put two and two together. It says here he's a car manufacturer. I'd be willing to bet he was Oldsmobile. See, look at that.
Mobiles.
Yeah, he made mobiles. But yeah, those guys. James C. Penney, also known as J.C. Penney. He was a Freemason. Okay. Who else we got here? W.C. Fields. Clark Gable. John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Wolfgang Mozart. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. He was one. Who else? Harry Houdini.
It sounds like it sounds a lot like the Friars Club.
Mm-hmm. Well, we left you hanging last week.
Yeah, we sure did.
Right when we were about to talk about... All right. So, yes, on the surface, it appears to be a civic group, a brotherhood. They do charity. They have fun. They make pies. It's going to be a good time. But the deeper you get into it, literally, like, as you rise through the ranks...
Don Rickles is a Freemason.
Really?
Richard Pryor.
Really? I didn't know that.
You think these guys could keep secrets? Who was having sex with Richard Pryor?
Oh.
Who's the guy?
Marlon Brando?
Brando and
Did
Pryor.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That came out about a year ago. That's... It's a bizarre couple. But yeah.
Mel Blanc.
Who's that?
Ernest Borgnine. Mel Blanc did all the voices of Bugs Bunny and everything.
Oh, right, right, right.
Charles Lindbergh. He's a Nazi. A lot of guys.
Yeah. So anyway, to recap. Yes, on the surface, it seems like just a nice civic group.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the conspiracy theorists think... That's a front, that's the outer circle, that the inner circle may be tied to the New World Order and or the Illuminati. They're rooted in secrecy. So much so that the Freemasons, they take a blood oath when they're initiated, and several have actually been murdered for spilling secrets. So it makes you think, you know, what secrets are they hiding, Kyle? Why so secretive if all you're doing is putting on bake sales and riding around in go-karts? All right, the strongest association that has been made with the Freemasons is the Illuminati. Now, we've talked a lot about the Illuminati. I'm fascinated by the Illuminati. Founded by German professor, I still don't know this guy's name, Adam Weishaupt. That's the best I can do. Weishaupt, I think that's how you pronounce it. During the 1700s, the Illuminati was believed to be...
John Philip Sousa.
Who's that?
Like a lot of marching band songs.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Illuminati believed that both religious and governments, religions and governments were corrupt. They wanted to abolish both of those institutions and create a new world order. To accomplish this mission, Weishaupt, he joined up with the Freemasons in Bavaria. And although the two groups shared liberal religious views, the Freemasons at that time, the Freemasons did not support Weishaupt's radical plot. Eventually, the Bavarian government forced the Illuminati to disband, but members reportedly carried on as part of other organizations, and some believe they continue to this day as the Freemasons. So
no more religion, no more government.
That was the Illuminati's idea. Yeah. Well, not necessarily no more. I think now the modern concept of the New World Order is a one world government and a one world religion. You know, the entire globe all operating off the same religion and the same government. That's the New World Order. And, you know, we've talked about the Georgia Guidestones, reduce the population to 500 million, whatever that math is, from 7.5 billion. I think it's like 90-something percent of the people. Got to go. Then we get into Agenda 21, which is just the concept of how the New World Order is trying to depopulate the world through various means. We've talked about that. But point being, a lot of people think the Freemasons, to the naked eye, they're the Freemasons. If you dig deeper, they're actually the New World Order.
I mean,
a lot of conspiracy theories have emerged over the years. Theorists have accused the Masons of everything from satanic worship. There's a whole satanic angle, especially we'll get into their symbols and the symbolism here in a minute. There's some satanic symbolism involved. But they've been accused of Satan worship, even having a role in the assassination of JFK. They think maybe the Freemasons had something to do with that. Some claim...
as soon as you're like, oh, we have some secrets, everybody gets to put whatever they want.
Well, of course. Yeah, of course.
Skull and Bone Society.
They were thought to have provoked both the French and American revolutions. You know, we talked about the Tea Party thing. They may have started that. Here's the other thing. Masons, there's rumors that the Masons literally designed the layout and the infrastructure of Washington, D.C., more specifically the street grid. I've heard this before. The street grid, apparently, if you look at it from an aerial view, you can point together, connect the dots that make it look like a pentagram.
Make it look like their logo or whatever.
Make it look like a pentagram.
D.C.'s designs there can't be raided. It's meant to be confusing to on foot armies.
That's so interesting.
Old European tactic.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm European, but like, yeah, you see a city that's a grid system. You're going to figure out how to get if you're fighting a war. It's just like marching troops through the city.
Yeah,
and it's all confusing, and you don't know how to get to the buildings you want to get to. That's I heard that it was a strategic reasoning. It's layout.
Man, speaking of that, I was watching Lincoln last night, Daniel Day-Lewis. I've never seen that all the way through, and
neither
fell asleep. First of all, that dude, like, he looks...
Did he lose?
Just like Lincoln. Yeah. But they were showing some of the war scenes, Civil War, and I guess I kind of knew this, but, you know, you don't really think about it until you see it reenacted in front of you. But there were battles where they were literally fist fighting. You think, even back then, you think muskets and bayonets and stuff, but, like... there was this one scene where, I mean, they had their bayonets and stuff, but like half the guys engaged were literally like choking each other under the water and punching. And
you
like,
got one shot out of your gun. If you can't do that, that's what the bayonet's for. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, oop, all right, somebody's closer than the 3 feet that my gun is.
Yeah.
doesn't mean anything, but like Rachel said, I'm like, oh, we haven't seen Lincoln. We should watch Lincoln. She's like, I don't want to watch that fucking idiot. I'm like, wait, what? Lincoln? I'm like, no, the guy who plays him. Because I'm like, did you just call Abraham Lincoln an idiot? It's like, no, the guy who plays him. That surf moron. I'm like, who are you thinking? She's like, you know that all right
guy.
I'm like,
Matthew McConaughey. I'm
like, Matthew McConaughey did not play Lincoln. She's like, well, why is he Lincoln? I'm like,
he's in the Lincoln commercial.
That was what we got to finally.
But how did that get crisscrossed in her brain?
No idea, but it was real funny.
That's
hilarious. We should watch Lincoln. I don't want to watch that moron. Like, what?
That
all right guy. I'm like, that's not.
20 years ago, yeah, man.
But then I was like, that's a movie I would have watched.
Oh, that's so funny.
But yeah, I'm just like, she's like, well, why am I thinking he's that? I'm like, because he's in Lincoln commercials. She's like, I guess.
Man, that's funny. Dude, he is so great. I've always liked him. But man, I also watched, last week I watched There Will Be Blood. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Eh.
That's a long movie.
I mean, I get that it's, I mean, he's great, but it was just, It was so, what's the word I'm looking for? Just glib. It was lumbering.
It's a lot of movie.
Yeah, it was like just sludging through the mud. Just, okay, here's this maniac who's an oil guy. And then the fucking Paul Dano character, little shithead preacher.
I didn't
realize
they were twins for the longest time.
Who?
Paul Dano. There's two of them in it.
What are you talking about? Paul Dano has a twin brother?
No, in the movie.
His character has a twin brother?
Yeah.
Well, I totally fucking missed that then.
Isn't there?
I missed that part.
Dude, I don't know, man. It was, again, it's so much movie. I'm like, I watched it because it felt like homework.
Yeah. Let's talk about the symbols of the Freemasons, all right? They are really big into symbolism. The primary symbol of Freemasonry, and you've seen it. Even if you don't really know what you've been looking at, you see it everywhere.
Rickles was a Freemason.
It's the square. Is that a joke by saying it again, or did you forget that you've already said
that?
Did
I say Rickles?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at Peter Sellers.
Okay. primary symbol is the square and compass.
I got racist and black guys, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like George Wallace, but also. Yeah.
George Wallace was?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you mentioned George Wallace because. I'm about to talk about Vice President Henry Wallace here in a minute. Okay. Anyway, the square and the compass and surrounding the letter G. A lot of people think the G represents God. Some people think the G represents geometry because they're really big into geometry and symbolism. Others think that G stands for Grand Architect, which is like the ultimate secret I mentioned earlier or last week, whatever, that the big secret is who the Grand Architect of the world is. I don't know. The square encourages members to square their actions with all men, and the compass stands for creating boundaries in your life. Freemasons, they wear a distinctive apron decorated with the square and the compass. Let's talk about the seal of the United States. You know what I'm talking about? On the back of a dollar bill.
Sure.
Got part of the seal. You got the eagle thing going on. Then you got the pyramid with the all-seeing eye.
Yeah.
That appears on a lot of our U.S. currency. The Latin phrase is written underneath that. Novus Ordo Seclorum. Mm-hmm. Basically translates to New World Order. In 1934... Freemason and soon to be Vice President of the United States, Henry Wallace, he submitted a proposal to fellow Freemason, President Franklin Roosevelt, to include the symbol, the seal, on all, not all, but on some U.S. currency. So that's when that started. So before 1934, there was none of that shit on our currency.
I'm looking at some of this shit, and it is...
Yeah. What are you
just
looking at?
That's what somebody's making a pentagram on the star or on the pyramid, and I'm not watching a video right now. Just give me an article. I'm not a fucking child. Well,
that's the thing with geometry and stuff. Like, you fiddle around with a compass and a square long enough, you're going to be able to connect dots that make anything.
And they have it like, so look, and the letters of the pentagram spell Mason.
Yeah.
This is so dumb. This is so, like, this is like just, I just think there's so much stuff. Secret society, sure, that is cool, but they're pretty prominent. Like, we have Scientology right here, and that's some nefarious shit.
Well, yeah, but just because they're right here doesn't mean they're not doing nefarious shit.
But I mean, that's the stuff we could think about, and it's happening, and it's secretive, and there's security guards that you cannot videotape. But you could rent a Mason's Lodge for a film shoot.
Yes, my point is, though, that's the outer circle, all right? The theory is that the higher you go up and the deeper you go into the inner circle, that's where the real nefarious shit is going down. Do you believe in the concept
Is that Freemasons, or is that just any organization that you get the three CEOs in a room and they're plotting to do some
Of course.
Villainous activity because they're rich CEOs? Like, the guy that works in the mailroom of Satanism isn't the devil, but the devil's in there somewhere.
True.
And I'm not, Satanism's a whole other thing, so I'm not throwing that on.
Do you believe in the concept of a Illuminati or a New World Order or a secret society that may or may not be trying to run things?
I don't think it's on purpose. Mm-hmm. I think it's just you, if you achieve a level of power somewhere, like we talk about the Epstein shit and keeping like pedophilia quiet, like that's how Corey Feldman's he keeps trying to get this documentary made about how
really
there's a pedophile ring in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's creeps. And we're talking about how pedophilia, if that's a predisposed way of life, like in the category of, you know, your sexual preferences, like that's a sexual thing and not acting on it. What was the term for
virtuous pedophiles?
Yeah. Like you are acknowledging who you are, but not acting on the criminal element of it. And then you got enough people, and I don't think it's like, here's your card. Thanks for being in the secret society. It's a secret society, but make sure to wear your ring or your lapel pin because it's a secret. It's just a level of power and money you get to, you're granted access to privilege that other people, that regular folk don't have. And you could say that about healthcare and about doctors that are going to, you know, take the best care of you because you can spend the money on that. You could say that about legal representation, that you're going to get the kind of lawyers that know how to finagle things, whether through legalese or just who they know and who gets favors done. Then the mob's a fucking secret society, you know, with a more official, like, oh, you're a made man. Now you're part of this crew.
But I think the intrigue here, and I'm not saying I believe this, but the reason this is intriguing to some is that this secret society might be pulling global strings. They may be at the top of the pyramid, you know, creating wars, affecting the economy, affecting the banks.
I don't think it's going to be just them. I think it's I think it just happens to be that this giant fraternal order has some members that do this other shit.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I think it is. I think it's easy to be like, oh, because they're maybe that's a social group that allow, like, hey, so-and-so meets so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You're a CEO. This is a CEO. And you both want to, you know, you're an oil baron and you are a car manufacturer. And you guys should talk together about how to keep public transportation out of this particular city or this and that. You know, I think that's how it might work out, that people with enough power are corruptible and they happen to all belong to this civic organization. That's my take on it.
Speaking of pedophiles, did a sex offender registry search in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Found one apartment building. Eight convicted sex offenders in one apartment
building. Well, that might be a halfway house.
But I told Katie to take alternate routes through that part of the neighborhood.
Or is that the safest one because they're all being monitored?
That's a good point, too. But, yeah, there's more than I would care to be around. But I did, they also show you the date of the crime and the crimes themselves. There was a lot of – I forgot how the crime is worded, but a lot of, like, basically – I was 20 and I banged the 15-year-old kind of stuff, which I don't condone, but that's better than serial rapists.
18 to 16, yeah, yeah. That's a
but yes, one building's got fucking eight of them. So I keep my eye on that building, doing some neighborhood watch. You mentioned earlier, fraternities. What are your thoughts, you as an educated, college-educated man?
Oh, yeah. That term doesn't mean
you ever
a lot.
Have any affiliation with a fraternity?
No, and I always thought they were stupid.
Me too.
But then I look back at, well, I had my group of friends because we were all like in bands. And so we still had something that served as the same thing that, again, now you several decades removed, and be like, they were all jerks. I'm like, I see their purpose. Mm-hmm. You move away to college. How do you make friends? Again, like any other shared interest group.
What's the shared interest there, though? We just all go to the same school? Can't you make friends?
Yeah, like, well, like a forced, like, all right, we're going to be bros.
I always thought it was lame. Like
the fact that you want to be in that fraternity is the shared interest. Or that maybe that your dad went to it, so it's a
it seemed like bought friends.
And I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that would say otherwise that did join. Because I look at the stuff, all we did was still just get drunk and be rowdy dickheads.
Yeah.
And like, we were no more or less virtuous than a frat was. There was parts, like, I remember walking through a college town, like, there was like a TV in the trash on the curb, and like, I kicked it or somebody like in the frat, like, the fuck, bro? You want to fucking go? Like, I'm kicking your garbage.
Yeah.
Fucking fuck you up, dude. I'm like, oh.
Okay.
Nate Craig had the fun. It was years ago, but one of the, because Nate Craig's great because he looks like he should be a frat bro, and he's a sweetheart, but he's a handsome, athletic man.
Yeah. Also, but, just enough of a loose cannon.
Oh yeah,
get you into some shit.
But he is like, he can be that guy, but he's on, like, because I know him from again the shared interest. Oh, I would never know this dude in the world, but now he's one of my good friends because of comedy. And I probably gave him more of like, oh, you're funny. Now I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Whereas if I saw you at a bar, I'm like, who's this fucking jerk who thinks he's cool?
And it's easy to judge a book by its cover.
Yeah. And like, oh, I've only shortchanged myself in that situation. But him, he just adds, he's like, man, what happened to frat guys? Don't they fall off roofs anymore? And it was the funniest because there's moments of like, and it was the height. Like, I started comedy when I was 22, so I was still going to college parties and hanging out. Like, yeah, fuck these guys. Would you like have a tragic death already? Yeah. It's not enough than the hazing thing and how terrible all that is. But then you go through the hazing. And again, maybe it happened with a, like football, and you were on sports teams. Mm-hmm. Like, was there a thing you guys all had to do? You know, like,
no,
lick each other's butts in the locker room or something?
No, never experienced any of that.
You didn't have to lick each other's butts?
No, we didn't have to.
Man, that's a weird volleyball team I was on for a while.
No, it was voluntary. But yeah, I mentioned before, I lived in Athens, Georgia for a while in my early 20s, in my college years, even though I didn't go to school there, and just. And again, I know it's easy to judge a book by its cover, but man, these motherfuckers they just carried themselves with such a sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
Just walking around in their stupid fucking salmon colored shorts and their polo shirts and fucking, but they did. They had this attitude of this superiority, and it's like, man, fuck you.
We throw the best party.
Fuck off.
Now, look at how I'm sure not all those guys were like that, but some of them were dickheads, and some of them had some power then because that fraternal organization did this or that for the school, and my dad was high up in this fraternity, so I get away with some kind of things. All those 80s tropes about fraternities, that's how I look at the Freemasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not strategic, but out of the 100 guys you got that are in that fraternity this year, 20 of them are connected, and their dads met in the fraternity and their dads are powerful, like professionals in the world, and they're going to alley-oop their kids into that same exclusive life. And other ones, like, I went, I drank a bunch of beer, and occasionally we still have our meeting, you know, we have our fraternal reunion that I go and I see these dudes. But just like anybody going,
Yeah, and I, you know, I'd be lying if I said some of it wasn't jealousy in the sense that, like, oh, must be nice to be groomed into a career, to you know, to have your dad get you a job after you graduate, and like, I don't just the gravy train that some of that leads to.
Yeah,
like,
here's your life.
Yeah, heaven forbid you think for yourself and carve out your own path.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I was gonna find friends because. Of similar interest. And because, like, I like this person's personality, and it helps that, hey, we're at the same concerts all the time. I see you at these shows.
Yeah. But that's a more legit common interest than just, I come from a wealthy family and I go to the school.
But like how a church serves a community, I look at just the same. That's how I look at Masonic Lodge. You can go join the Moose Lodge right now.
Yeah.
I joined the Moose Lodge.
You did?
In Burbank, just because they had cheap beer.
Way to go.
Years ago.
Now, what are they doing?
No, I didn't go through the whole thing. I signed up the one day because my buddy's like, it's like $1.50 steins of beer. But yeah, I had to sign a pamphlet that said, I believe in God and I'm not a communist. I'm like,
that's okay. That's what I was about to get into, but go ahead.
Yeah, and I did that for cheap beer. Okay. So, just because the people that are in the Masons might not be like, it's fun.
No, of course. Yeah, I'm not saying that Katie's dad knows created 9/11.
Now give me Bezos's phone number. Now that I'm in, he's in.
Yeah.
Let me talk to him.
Yeah.
But,
oh, man.
Yeah, inner circles of anything. I bet inner circles, like, it's an easy cop, but not a cop out, but yeah, but there's next level that's more secret than this one.
But that
is a next level. There's show business that we're engaged in. Mm-hmm. Hey, I go on auditions. I do stand up here, but I bet once you have, you're making money and selling out stadiums and there's a new echelon of like,
of course,
right this way.
Yeah.
Oh, something went wrong. We have fixers. You get your own Ray Donovan. After a certain point.
Yeah.
You get, these fucking idiots that run around, I'm sure there's a better reference than like Justin Bieber or something, that you're never going to go to jail. You're never going to face your punishment. Yeah. Somebody's fixing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's just a level of power that comes with money.
I mean, that happens even in like the collegiate athletic world, you know, exactly. The star football player for the university gets into some trouble. It's dealt with a little differently than just some scrub.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My fraternity brother's gotten some legal trouble. Well, my dad's a high powered lawyer and he's also an alpha fucking whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we got you. It's a built in system of favors.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it could also be said that for the same thing, like, all right, I paid my dues as a comedian. I can drop in on a show where somebody else is like, oh, I can't believe I got to do open mics and this and that. Like,
well, that's you legitimately not monetarily paying your dues, but that's years of grinding it out and earning a reputation based off of nothing than your own merit and your own skill.
Yeah, but then knowing something like
I've got no problem.
I can walk into a comedy, like watch a comedy show for free. But I mean, yeah, you earned your place in it.
Yeah, you earned it. It wasn't handed to you because of who your dad is or what club you're a part of.
Well, it's looked at earning. Like, so what do you have to do to get to this inner circle?
Well, to
tell
join
me about the circle
to join today. The Freemasons, you got to fill out a petition and obtain two sponsors within the lodge. You'll then be voted in. By secret ballot, potential new members are asked whether they believe in God, and they must answer yes to be admitted. Although they don't have to be wealthy, members must have enough money to pay membership fees and to make regular charitable donations. That's expected of all Freemasons.
Okay.
New Freemasons start out as entered apprentices. That's that's that first level. You're an entered apprentice. During the initiation ceremony, the Freemasons recount the building of King Solomon's temple and the murder of old Hiram Abiff, who I talked about last week. So I guess there's some sort of recreation. You got to put on a little play. That sounds lame. The new member is blindfolded and confronted by three men who order him to reveal the Freemason's secrets. He swears he will not tell, and then he pretends to die and be resurrected into the Masonry. By the way, the that phrase, the third degree, yeah. You know, fucking Kyle's giving me the third degree. That comes from the Freemasons, because on the third level, the third degree, there's like this real intense interrogation process.
Oh, it's not like a third degree burn?
No. No, it comes from this. Freemasons must then rise through two more degrees, the Freecraft Mason and Master Mason. After they have become proficient in these lessons, a member then rises another degree, and he becomes privy to more and more of the Freemason's secrets. Yeah, okay, here's the part I was talking about. Let's see here. After completing the Master Mason degree, a member can reach the Supreme Order of the Holy Royal Ark, at which time the name of the great architect of the universe is finally revealed to him. So that's the big secret that they're all keeping. The great architect of the universe is finally revealed to them. The name
they
is,
just they just say the name?
Yeah, the name is reportedly
Greg.
Jabulon, or short for Jah, or for Jawa, the God of the Hebrews.
So it's God.
Yeah.
So at the end of Freeman, like, oh, God is God.
Yeah. Okay.
What kind of dog shit reward is that? Hey, you remember how you said you had to believe in God?
It's God.
That's it? That's the end? I mean, believe in God? You do? Cool, because guess what? It's God.
Yeah.
What, do they get like a sit down with him?
Oh, that's so funny. As far as religious affiliation, people of all religions are free to join. And religion, by the way, is never overtly discussed during the meetings. Boy, that one's got some. Yeah. That one's got some mustard on it. they don't discuss religion in these meetings. However, every member must profess a belief in a universal supreme being. Who, like I said, the Freemasons refer to as the great architect of the universe. As is the case with most religions, Masons are expected to be morally upright individuals. They swear oaths to the book of the sacred law, which, depending on the lodge, can be the Jewish Old Testament, the Christian New Testament, or even the Islamic Quran. So, like, it's not, religion isn't, they don't discuss it, but you kind of have to fall under one of these three categories.
I mean,
need some poopery.
Yeah, sorry, I did that.
I wonder if you.
It blinded me. Wait, tell me the three categories again. I'm sorry. I was checking out something else.
What if I squirted poopery on your shorts and then you farted?
I don't want to. Hold on. Go back to the Masons. This is the questions they would answer. What are the three categories of. Don't discuss religion.
Members swear oaths to the book of the sacred law, which, depending on the lodge, could be the Jewish Old Testament, the Christian New Testament, or even the Islamic Quran.
A religious text.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, so you have to swear on one of those three books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is interesting that this, like, because look at it, like, all right, well, if George Wallace, famous, you know, Alabama governor, either way, racist.
Yeah.
And, but then black. So it seems all encompassing. No women, though.
Yeah, no women. Now, there are things, I didn't get into this, there are female offshoots. One is called Daughters of Job. Mm-hmm. I told you, Katie's dad is a Freemason. Katie had one of her sisters passed away, but mm-hmm. The two sisters other than Katie were members of the Daughters of Job. And she didn't know a whole lot about it, but she's like, oh yeah, they were part of some group, Daughters of Job, or they would like all the daughters of the Freemasons of this particular lodge, they would all go to some other place and hang out and eat cookies.
Well, because I mean, like my, you know, obviously a VFW was a thing, and my grandfather was VFW, so like they would have Christmas parties. The kids would go, and that's what it, you know, after a war, that's the community center for those guys coming back. For a lot of them, it's, you know, these things serve purposes.
Yeah,
they, you know. Civic organizations are, I think, useful And then you add these little fun things to it. These little, oh, Seek, we got a ring, we got a this. And then let something that's been around long enough. I don't know. I got that.
The question is, Kyle, should I infiltrate the Freemasons? Should I join? Yeah.
Well, just as they're a secret society, you should announce it now in secrecy.
Okay.
Go. Probably, you know what? You know what? They're going to have a chili cook-off. You're going to win. Yeah. And then you're indoctrinated.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, Dave, you know, only the winners of the chili cook-off get this inner ring.
Uh-huh.
And then you get access to a secret spice cabinet within there. And then we never see you again.
I could be.
And you're like, no, no, we do. It's just, we're just charitable. That's all.
I could become food and beverage chairman of the Freemasons.
Oh, man.
So that could be a whole new thing for me. But yeah.
They probably do big, like, potlucks and everything. Mm. Come in there and crush it.
Mm. Love a good potluck. Well, there you go, man. That's the there's your fucking Freemasons.
I think, well, because it is so extensive, it's easy to start theorizing. Just like, oh, the government's got inner tiers. Well, probably. But it's not like the government was built. I mean, mailman's part of the government.
Here's
He's
what's
not also it, the guy that's like working Area 51.
But think of it this way, and I know we got to wrap up. But you got the outer circle, you got the inner circles, whatnot. It does seem like a good setup. You got this front, this civic group, this outer circle. It you get all walks of life. Like you said, you got to believe in God. You got to make enough money to pay for whatever. But then that's a good way. That's a good pool to pull from of like, oh, this guy's Illuminati material. We'll bump him up to this and let him meet this guy.
Like you can, if you want to.
You got 100 goons down at the local lodge, right? Maybe two of them, you know, 20 years later.
Like somebody's got a karate class, but he's actually a top secret assassin. Exactly. He's looking for raw talent that they can shape in the.
Exactly.
What was that? Those, shit. Grosse Pointe Blank.
Mm-hmm.
That was John Cusack's background character.
Yeah.
So he fit a certain profile when he joined the military.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, psychological profiles.
That I don't disagree with, that the military would be like, you're a psycho. Mm-hmm. Let us corral you into this. But then they talk about the guy, the one Navy SEAL that they're like, they exonerated him from war crimes or something. But the other SEALs were talking like, yeah, this guy's a lunatic.
Yeah.
Like, how do you just control, like, oh, we need a psychopath, but we need skills, but you can't just be a like, we need you to follow orders,
yeah,
but also we need you to have an emotional chain break between what's right and wrong.
You can't tame a wild stallion, man.
Well, how did we get stallions?
I don't know, it's just something I hear.
How did we get horses?
Can't tame a lone wolf. But no, it does seem like an interesting setup to, like, let's have our chili cook-offs and let's do this and let's do that. But then you get, every now and then one comes down the pike that you're like, all right, you need to get bumped up. And then you get bumped up. And 20 years later, he's sitting in a room with Putin.
I don't think it's just the Freemason. I don't know if the Freemasons is the way to get there. But Scientology has the same setup of weird inner circle secrecy that's far more real and palpable.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, there you go, bud. Anything to plug? Today is February 18th. Where are you at?
I'm being Charlottesville, Virginia tonight and Asheville tomorrow night.
Amazing. Where are you playing at Asheville?
We got this Orange Peel.
Oh, that's a cool spot. Have you been there before?
I had opened for Patton Oswalt there probably about 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's a cool room.
It's pretty wild that I'm there. I'm not selling the same tickets.
Beards of Comedy sold about 42 tickets there about 10 years ago.
It was a large place.
Yeah, it was very empty.
It was a large place. Yeah, I'm looking at the same situation like, hey guys, we could use, how many we got sold right now? All right, we got about 3. Could use you over at the Jefferson Theater in Charlottesville tonight. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Step it up, Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, Virginia?
Yes. Mm. Is there other ones?
Yeah, there's other Charlottesvilles.
Fuck, I hope it's Virginia.
There's a West Virginia. No, I'm thinking of, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm thinking of Charleston, West Virginia.
Yeah, that's what I meant. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Watch out for the... I was trying to make a Charlottesville joke, but you get it.
No.
You get it.
All right.
Watch out for the Freemasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Always do.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Boogie Monster.
Network.